The deep state has declared war on freedom-loving Americans, very much including Americans who believe in border security. A recent manifestation of that occurred in McAllen, Texas, a border city between the United States and Mexico. The New American was there. Hello, everybody. This is Gary Benoit, your host for Beyond the Cover. And we have with us today Alex Newman, senior editor for The New American magazine. So we're glad to have you with us, Alex.
Great to be here. Thank you so much, Gary.
Thanks. Now, Alex, you were at a recent event for Standing Up for America that was held in McAllen, Texas. It was the end of January. And I think 1,000 people or thereabouts were expected at that event. It did not work out that way. One of the reasons the event was held in McAllen was to expose what is happening on the border. But only a couple hundred people showed up, and it was sabotaged by the deep state. What happened?
Yeah, actually, thousands of people were expected, but at every step of the way, the deep state and subversive forces did everything possible to stop that. They had actually sold over 1,000 tickets, is what I'm told, through Ticketmaster. And as it was relayed to me by the organizers, Ticketmaster then refunded people and said the event had been canceled. Local media hosts said the event had been canceled, so people in the community thought it was canceled. And also, what I understand from talking to the organizers is that the services to buy the tickets were constantly going down, constantly having errors. I think they said they had 100,000 people go to the place to buy tickets, and none of them were able to get it. So it was obvious sabotage at every step of the way. Obviously, the social media companies were doing their part, suppressing every effort to draw attention to this event. And by the time it started, they had an auditorium, a stadium. They expected the stadium to be absolutely filled. And about 150 to 200 people came because everybody who was supposed to be there was told that it was going to be canceled.
So. Wow. Now, a lot of these people, of course, would be coming from outside the area, but I'm sure they were expecting people to show up from McAllen where the event was held. But I understand that even in McAllen, people thought the event was canceled.
Yeah. You had the local media saying it was canceled. You also had people from the city government saying that it was canceled. Of course, they have no authority to cancel any kind of event. Mm-hmm. That's not their business. That's not their within their authority. But you had a very concerted effort to lead people falsely to believe that the event was not going to be taking place when obviously it was. We were there. So.
Right. Why do you think this deep state would go to those lengths? And what are the organizers doing about it?
Well, I think the reason why they just were so determined to shut this down was because it would have drawn a lot of attention to the border. And I think Trump very strategically narrowed in on a few existential threats to the United States, and one of a handful was the border. And he really worked hard to get that under control. In fact, I interviewed the head of Customs and Border Protection down there. He said that when Trump left office, the most secure border that had ever existed in history mm-hmm. was in place. And then the Biden administration, he said, deliberately destroyed that for political purposes. So what's happening here is an agenda much bigger than illegal immigration. It's even bigger than drug trafficking and smuggling slaves and child victims for sex trafficking across the border. It's much bigger. It's part of what looks to be a war on our country. They want to bring in as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, to fundamentally change the character of the nation, to bring in new voters to support the Democratic Party, which is very rapidly losing support, even among the quote-unquote constituencies, the identity groups that it has decided must be loyal to the Democratic Party. So this issue is one of those key issues where if it were exposed, if it were stopped, the establishment, the insiders, the deep state would be in a very, very bad position. I mean, this stuff is criminal. What's happening at the border is, I think, deliberate crime being committed by powerful people in Washington, D.C. And so when you look at the people who are going to attend this conference, people like very high-profile people, mm-hmm. General Mike Flynn, who was the National Security Advisor for Donald Trump, former head of military intelligence. You had Ted Nugent, a very famous rock star. You had the head of the Customs, former head of the Customs and Border Protection, former head of ICE, Thomas Homan was there. You had Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, former congressman, potentially the next governor of Texas. You had this incredible lineup of people there,
right.
and that would have caused millions of people to pay attention to what was going on the border. So I think it was an orchestrated takedown of the event to make sure that it could not proceed and that it could not draw attention. And as for what the organizers are doing, they're in the process, I understand now, of filing lawsuits against the corporations that were involved here, the individuals that were involved here. And I know they expect that to take some time to go through the legal system, but they're absolutely not going to take it laying down, and they're already planning another event to accomplish what the last one was supposed to do.
Well, good for them. But the speakers you just cited, they actually did show up, so they apparently did not get the memo that the event was allegedly canceled.
Right, yeah, all the speakers were there, the volunteers were there, you know, the people who needed to be there were there, just the audience did not come because they had been told that it wasn't happening, so.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it, that that could happen in the United States of America, to get that kind of participation on the part of you know, the people who were providing the tickets online and whatnot to say an event was canceled that was never canceled to begin with.
Yeah, I really wonder what happened there. It'll be interesting to see what comes out in discovery. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if very powerful people leaned on them. We just saw something similar in Canada with the GoFundMe refusing to send almost $10 million to the truckers that have been donated to the truckers. And already law enforcement is involved now. The state attorneys general in Texas and Louisiana and Florida are now probing this. But what happened with the event in Texas is that there was absolute media silence. A handful of articles appeared, but you never would have known that this was a significant event. They didn't give the names of the speakers. They portrayed it as just this fringe gathering of right-wing kooks and extremists and QAnon supporters. They said over and over and over again. I don't know who they were referring to as a QAnon supporter, but very dishonest. And so a person reading the news would have had absolutely no idea what happened.
I think it's fair to say, Alex, that the people who were at this event, the speakers and also the attendees, were not people who supported QAnon.
No, I think that's a very safe assertion. Yep. And they were also not any of the other things that they were called. It's, you know, one of the Democrats that they interviewed for one of the TV programs that did cover what happened in a very superficial way. Again, you would have no idea what actually happened. But they interviewed a Democrat politician, and he said, "Oh, I'm so glad law enforcement is taking the threat of this event seriously," as if it were like a gathering of terrorists or something. I mean, these are literally the people that were running the federal government a year and a half ago. Now being painted as terrorists, domestic extremists, threats, et cetera. It's simply mind-boggling that that could have happened and that they could have gotten away with that. But I don't think they're going to get the last laugh.
No, I don't think so either, because there certainly is a great awakening. And, of course, so far as I know, the main purpose of having this particular event at the border in McAllen, because McAllen is basically a hot spot. In terms of the problem with the border and all the people who are coming across the border. But looking at some of the footage that was taken at the time of that event, one thing I notice is that the border wall or the border fence actually comes to an end. It simply stops, and people are able to walk back and forth on both sides of the border. But did that surprise you when you saw that?
It did, yeah, because when you see it on TV or when you see it in pictures in magazines, you typically just see the wall. But we were able to walk right around the wall and go to the south side of the wall, and there was a little rally there. Of course, that was still on U.S. soil because you know, the border itself is at the river.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, the Biden administration has done everything possible to make sure that the wall would not be finished. In fact, a lot of the money that was spent on the materials and equipment just basically went to waste. The Texas governor, as I understand, has been trying to get that process started again. But no, right now the wall is essentially not a wall. I mean, there are pieces of it, but of course anybody could just walk right around it with no problem.
But despite the fact that the wall was not completed, there's no question that under the Trump administration, that there was a lot of border security compared to today.
Oh, absolutely.
And that under Biden, there was an abrupt change in policy. As a matter of fact, under the laws of the United States, there is supposed to be a border, but how about the reality? Would you say in terms of the application of the law that there is a border today?
A border in name only, maybe kind of like Republicans in name only. In fact, it's at the point now where many of the illegal immigrants are actually just looking for border agents because they know they're going to be given paperwork. They're going to be allowed to stay for what I think the backup now is 5 years almost for when they're going to get their next court case. So all they have to do is show up, get themselves some documents that allows them to live here, to work here for 5 years while they wait for a court case that most likely most of them are not going to go to.
Well, that being the case, Alex, why would illegals coming across the border today try to avoid border agents? Why wouldn't they go to the border agents in order to take advantage of this?
I think many of them do, because what's happening now, the Biden administration is processing them, giving them paperwork, putting them on buses, putting them on the airplanes, and with help from various organizations, including the Catholic Charities down there, and flying them all across the United States. In fact, they were taking them on buses right into my community.
Right.
And one of the things that was really interesting about the footage that we saw, some local political officials filmed this, was there was no women and children. It was all men. And, you know, you might say, well, okay, they're going to come up here and work and maybe send money to their families. Okay. But it's very, very interesting. And I think there are good reasons for concern. Some of the estimates that we heard from the people that we interviewed, we talked to virtually all the speakers. They said there probably have been 3 million people who've crossed that border since the Biden administration took over. And you know, and that's just the start of it, of course. Once they come, once they get legal paperwork, which is the Democrats' plan, is to give amnesty to everybody, then they'll call for their sisters, their brothers, their cousins, their uncles, their aunts. So, you know, this is just the beginning of a massive, massive influx that will be coming.
Now, these flights that you're talking about, who's paying for those flights that are taking the illegal aliens to other parts of the country?
Well, we actually interviewed a man who spent 30 years in the Border Patrol, Mr. Frank Lopez. He's running for Congress now. Wonderful, wonderful man and true patriot. And he said that the Biden administration had even commandeered one of the local, I forget if it was an Air Force base or some sort of military landing strip that they have there. And he said they were just flying 737s in, loading them up with illegal immigrants, shipping them all over the country. It seems like they're especially targeting red states for this influx. A lot of them are coming to Florida. He said a lot of them are going to Mississippi. Our governor has actually proposed $8 million in the next budget to start shipping these illegal immigrants to Delaware, to Biden State, and to Martha's Vineyard, where the elites live. But something very significant is going on here. The head of the Border Patrol, when we interviewed him, the head of the Customs and Border Protection, which I guess oversees the Border Patrol, he said that just the ones that they have encountered, the Border Patrol guys, coming from over 150 different countries.
Wow.
A lot of these are nations that are known to be very hostile to the United States. A lot of them are nations that are known for having a massive terror problem. So this is a national security risk like we can't even begin to imagine.
How do you explain the fact that if you look at U.S. foreign policy, that we have U.S. soldiers guarding the borders of other countries, let's say Afghanistan, you know, at one point, you know, Iraq, of course, today you could look at Europe with all the troops we have in Europe. We still have many soldiers in South Korea guarding the border between South and North Korea. So we're doing all those things. But how about the border of the United States with Mexico? Canada.
It's really an incredible dichotomy. And to hear all these Democrats in Congress running around like chickens with their heads cut off about the Ukrainian border and the Ukrainian sovereignty, it defies belief. How can they pretend to be so concerned about borders on the other side of the world when our own southern border is wide open? And I think what's going on here is just very childish political games. They see a political advantage in allowing the border to be open. They believe that it'll help fundamentally transform America, as Barack Hussein Obama put it. And they see a political advantage and an advantage for the ultimate agenda of a new world order in getting us embroiled in this conflict in Ukraine and Eastern Europe. So when you understand the ultimate agenda, which is to ultimately bring down the United States and build this one world system, suddenly the open borders for the United States and the alleged concern about Ukrainian borders makes perfect sense.
Now, I know if you look at the history of the United States, it's been said that we are a nation of immigrants. But yet there's a great contrast between then and what's happening today, because if you look at the past, people came over here to become a part of the American dream. They pulled themselves up by the bootstraps. The subsidies that were provided, by and large, were handled privately. You did not have this welfare state magnet that we did today. And of course, many people did come over as immigrants and have become wonderful citizens and a great part of America. But that's not what's happening today, is it?
That's not at all what's happening today. You know, part of my family came from Europe, and the stories get passed down. As soon as they came, no more of their own language. And, you know, my wife is an immigrant, and there's a very significant difference between coming here because you love the country, because you want to become part of the country, or coming here to mooch off the welfare system and send money home. And I think the Democrat agenda is very clear. You know, on the one hand, they want to import as many people as possible. On the other hand, they're bringing them in and then radicalizing them against America.
Yes.
They're telling them to come in. They're putting them on welfare. They're giving them handouts from taxpayer money. Then they're telling them, oh, this country you just moved to, it's a white supremacist abomination. They're oppressing you because you have more melanin in your skin than the average American might have. It's simply ludicrous from the perspective of common sense. Why would any sane person who likes America import a bunch of people and then tell those people that the country they just came to hates them and is oppressing them and that they should try to overthrow it? It's absolutely nonsensical until, again, you realize the agenda is to take down this country, to overthrow our constitutional system, and eventually merge us into this one world order that they're building.
Which may sound like a fantastic statement, Alex, but at the same time, when you look at the evidence, there is no other conclusion you can come to.
Right. Yep.
And so that's what we encourage our viewers to do, is to take a look at the evidence. And of course, the article that you will be writing, in fact, maybe you're already in the process of writing for the New American, based on your trip to the border and based on what you witnessed at that event in McAllen, Texas, that will be coming up later, appearing in the New American magazine, and I believe for the March 28 issue.
Yep. Working on it right now, just getting statements from people who are involved in organizing, mm-hmm. and we'll be typing that up and getting it done real soon here. So,
okay. Before we wrap up, Alex, just one more question, because a lot of this is so negative, and yet there is the hope, because certainly we don't have to lose our freedoms, we don't have to lose our countries, but what do you recommend for our viewers as to what they can do to save America?
Well, you know, that'd be another 10-hour conversation, but I think the brief summary would be, first of all, you have to get educated. You know, if mm-hmm. you become an activist and you're not educated, you might as well not be an activist. You may as well be, you know, duped into one of the false solutions that the establishment is offering. And so, you know, I recommend that people get educated. One great way to do that is to become a subscriber to The New American if you're not yet, and read every issue that comes out and get mm-hmm. subscribed to the online daily headlines. I recommend that people make sure they're educating their own children. You know, get them out of the public schools. Mm-hmm. If you want your children to be able to read and think and reason and become decent, honorable human beings and citizens, that's not going to happen in the government school system unless it's some kind of miracle. You know, it's the chances are very low that your child will come out of there okay. I do encourage people to get involved with the John Birch Society, which, of course, publishes The New American.
Right.
Become a member, get involved in a local chapter, get involved working in your local community to educate the people there. And I think that's how ultimately we're going to have to turn this around. And, of course, I tell people, you know, get on your knees, pray, read your Bible, you know, get more involved in your church, get involved in important things, promoting morality and goodness and you know, that's a very small summary of what could be said, but getting involved is critical.
Well, those are all very fundamental points that you made, and thank you very much, Alex.
Thank you, Gary.